Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you to give us wisdom concerning our negotiations with this world, this wicked world, this beast system. Thank you for giving us victory over it, Lord, understanding of how to walk outside of it, outside of the beast system, but in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for that today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue with Preserved from the Beast, number 4. And this first revelation is all about the righteous forgive and escape beast destruction. And this was given to Elena Timoshuk, 3:30-21. Amen. I had a dream that I was standing in a field with my sister Maria, my mom, and my brother Theo. And we know that the field is the world, as Jesus said, and also in the parable of the sower. We were just standing in a group talking when all of a sudden we heard gunfire. I looked up, and in front of us, I saw an army coming towards us. Their outfits looked old-fashioned. I think this is probably because this is a civil war and unrest that is coming to the United States. The Chinese and Soros-funded Antifa and BLM deep state movements are continually escalating division and hatred among the citizens. And the outfits being old-fashioned represents that this army is operated by the same spirits that drove our country into division back during the time of the Civil War. Amen. They were wearing red army jackets and riding horses. In my mind, I knew that these were the good guys, and I was not afraid of them. They pointed their guns into the air and shot straight upwards, and I knew that was their sign that they meant peace. Well, typically, the red Republicans are conservative and have more of a leaning towards traditional Christian values. And Trump had brought the party more in this direction since 2016. But shooting their weapons straight upwards could represent that the prayers of the right or righteous against the leftist, deep state, factious, demonic enemies in the second heaven. In other words, they were shooting upwards into the air. Warfare is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Amen? I turned and I looked behind me, and there was another army also coming, but they were wearing blue coats. Pretty well identifies them, I guess. I knew this army meant war. I watched as they got their guns and aimed more diagonally towards the Red Army and fired. Okay, well, typically the blue Democrats are leftist, communist, fascists. They have become radicalized by the deep state using agent provocateurs that incite the ignorant masses to violence against their neighbors. And they're aiming to do real harm. Their warfare is more carnal against physical people. My sister and I quickly started running because we knew that was the sign that there would be peace and it was going to be a war. We ran through the Red Army and to my mom's house, representing I believe the prayers of the righteous among God's elect in the church. Right? We sat there in a room in her basement. My daughter, Adelina, was with us, and my then unborn daughter, Abigail, was in my arms. The prayers, I believe this is what this is talking about, the prayers of the righteous availeth much with God and bear good fruit unto salvation. We were hearing continuous gunfire. At one point, it quieted, and I went outside to see what was going on. I think this probably means that things are going to get messy for a while, but we are safe under God's Psalm 91 protection, and we need to abide there in the secret place of the Most High. God is sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over the trial that we go through, over the things that we see the wicked doing. Remember, he is in control. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. And God is not here to destroy us. He is here to cause us to go through these trials by faith and our trust in him. Amen. The two armies were lined up, one facing the other, ready to kill each other. I didn't see any generals or main people of authority. It was just simple soldiers, simply dressed. Well, yeah, the leadership of the powers that be always remain in the shadows and let the grunts kill each other off. We know that war is carnal. But God generally uses those who don't know that. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." How many Christians don't yet know that? And of course, it gets them in trouble. But God still uses them. He still uses them in their battle against the wicked. And James 4:1-2 says, "Whence come wars, and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, you kill and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not." I've had people ask me, David, what if none of us fought the enemy? Who would fight this battle? I said, you have plenty of people out there that will do this. Yes, there are plenty of people, even Christians, who will go out there and do this. But Christian, of course, should mean Christ-like. So we've been called to turn the other cheek, love our enemies, do good to them that spitefully use you, so on. So he's telling you clearly what war is all about. It's carnal. It's from the world. It's wicked. Don't fight with the world, against the world. You as really true wise Christians, right? I didn't know which side was on which team, red or blue. Well, when they do this, you really don't know. It's hard to tell sometimes, because even the red team is going out there and killing and assassinating and, you know, doing lots of things. They're all on the same side of deception, because they are the two sides of the same coin. There are only two men in the earth. Here's where the division actually is. It's between Christ and Antichrist. Yeah. Many people with patriotic spirits are still serving the devil, even though they think they are serving God and country. But the Lord is about to bring a great revival through awakening his people to his truth and to repentance. And people are entering into the kingdom. You know, you have to leave the world to enter into the kingdom. If you leave the worldly ways, you can come closer and closer to God. They were assigned to take turns shooting and killing each other so that no one would remain alive. Yes, what people don't understand is the deep state are depopulationists. They don't mind using America's military. They don't mind using the anarchists. They don't mind. They don't care if everybody gets killed. But then each person, when it was their turn to shoot, would aim their gun either right above the head and shoot, or to the side and shoot, so the bullet would fly past and not harm the other person. Wow, what does this represent? You know, what would bring this about? Let's look at this. Well, I believe it represents a revival of mercy and forgiveness among God's elect in the church and in the government. But as we go on, it says, as I was watching the first soldiers do this, some of the others were astonished. Others were crying from happiness. And the ones that had already shot and missed on purpose were hugging each other and forgiving each other. Well, this, I believe, could only be a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit upon the elect of God in these end times. And this is only possible when we do warfare against the demons of war. And what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. You understand, wars are enforced by demonic activity. And we can do warfare against them. We have prayed away several attempts at war of the deep state, because that's how they make their money. We've prayed those away by the grace of God. People think Trump did that. Well, he did. He had a hand in it. But it couldn't have happened without God's people praying and believing, right? One soldier particularly hated another soldier on the other side, and everyone was expecting him to kill him, but he aimed his gun over the top of the other's head, and the bullet flew past and didn't harm him. And they also came together and forgave each other. Well, I tell you, binding spirits of hatred, partisanship, faction, and strife is the only way to see anything like this happen. He said, somehow I knew that each shot had to be made so that the authorities that weren't close enough to see would hear that their orders were being carried out. So she knew this in the dream, that people were acting like they were at war, right? They just wanted everyone to be dead, talking about the powers that be, right? No matter what side they were on. Yes, they are depopulationists, and that's why they've made these vaccines. And everybody's going to know it soon. It'll be too late for some. The deep state agenda is population reduction. They made the Georgia Guidestones. They plan on reducing very quickly the population of the world. And they don't really care about sides. They just want to kill a bunch of people. They'll use individuals, and when they have no need of them any longer, they just kill them. And especially if they know something about them that they don't want to come up the ladder, climb up the ladders, they just take them out just as easy as anybody else. Okay, this is Isaac Payne's revelation, the Beast Bear Attack. In this dream, Brandy Arney, whom we know very well, and I, and a few people that I didn't recognize, were getting into a car. It seemed like we were leaving a sporting event. The sporting event, I believe, represents leaving the competitive beast system. So leaving the sporting event is like leaving this competition between two sides, right? And the competitive religious system, you understand, it's the same. Climbing the ladder, success is what they call filling a church building, you know. Of course, it wasn't that in Jesus's day. shouldn't be in our day, but there's this competition. Patriotism sparks competition. Yeah. It's an evil spirit, believe it or not. I believe we were, because the other side's patriotic too, you know. I believe we were previously in the streets where all the people were tailgating. Well, a tailgate party is held on or around the open tailgate of a vehicle, and it often involves sharing food and drinks. And these occur in, like, parking lots at stadiums and arenas before and occasionally after games and concerts, or maybe even halftime events or something like that. And it's sharing food and drink spiritually, could be fellowshipping around God's Word. In other words, they were taking time out from the competition to go and eat and drink. I remember seeing myself on my knees, and I think I was praying in the midst of all the tailgaters. And he says, possibly we were all there sharing the gospel. Yes. We got in the car, and Brandy drove us to my dad's property in Maceo, Kentucky. Maceo is Spanish for Matthew, which means gift of God. Mm-hmm. My dad passed in 2005, and he had 20 acres of land surrounded by miles of country and wilderness. Even as kids, we used to call this property the refuge. Okay, so now it's the gift of God. It's the refuge. I know now my Father is my refuge. Amen. Psalm 91, 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. That's right. Confess Him before men. He will confess you before the Father. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Amen. Good confession. I believe my dad's property in the dream represents my father's property, Mount Zion. Also, this property was the second highest point in all of Davies County. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Bride of Christ, the first fruits, are leaving Babylon and all of its competition and the wars and everything else through sanctification or separation from the worldly Babylonish beast system and conquering their promised land that the Father has given us through our faith in His promises. On this property was a white cottage-style home in the front yard. This house isn't actually there in real life. Well, I believe this is Father's White House. He is the sovereign ruler over his church and the government. It was dusk, and the sun was setting, but there was still plenty of visibility. Brandy and I were outside, and to the best of my remembrance, we were about to cook some food. Things are getting dark at the close of this age, but the first fruits elect of God are preparing a refuge and the spiritual food to feed many people in the tribulation period that we're about to enter, and might say in the tribulation before the tribulation period that we're entering. Out of nowhere, towards the back end of the property in the woods, we heard coyotes howling. And I said to Brandy, "You hear that?" He responded, "Yes, I do." The howls were louder than normal. Suddenly, I started to hear the stampeding of different animals coming from the back of the property into the front of the property. Wow. Okay, this sounds very familiar here. As I was looking, I saw coyotes running out of the woods and into the open field. But they were running from something and were so scared they never even saw Brandy and me. Okay, so different animals running. And coyotes, which are wild dogs, which sometimes are likened unto apostate preachers in the Bible, were leading them, okay? So we watched the coyotes run past us in the open field, heading toward another area of woods or wilderness. I looked again towards the back end of the property where all the animals were stampeding away from, and I saw a deer running frantically. And this deer was a buck. However, it had a very different type of antlers. The antlers were not pointed up into the air. They were pointed out in front of the deer, parallel with the deer's body, and the antlers formed a triangle. Well, this sounds more like those people who were shooting parallel instead of up, right? This one was parallel, and that was, of course, the deer's weaponry, and it was like a warfare was going on, and they were wrestling with flesh and blood, maybe, okay? The deer ran right past us and was running into the nearest woods or wilderness for cover. Then we saw two more animals running in the open field. At first, they looked more like coyotes, and then I realized that they were bear cubs. And the bear cubs were also running for shelter towards the woods. Well, we know in Scripture, animals are types of people. Peter saw a sheet coming down out of heaven with various animals, which we're later told were the Gentiles who wanted to hear the gospel. Amen. And we have Noah's Ark, in which there were a lot of animals to repopulate the earth. And there is a type and a shadow there of those animals being the Gentiles. You know. And, for instance, some people are like a porcupine because they're constantly throwing barbs and bristling their quills in self-defense. And sometimes they're even like a skunk because their life is not a sweet savor unto God. And their stupid spirits don't permit them to have enough sense to get out of the road when they see the headlights coming to bring justice upon them. I say that because in this area, you see a lot of skunks dead on the road. The light's coming. What is that? You know, they don't seem to be very smart animals. Yeah. And for this reason, they will never take over the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so these are two animals you definitely do not want on a refuge, right? And as we will see later in this dream, the bear, beast, will try to devour mankind much like they are doing now with the vaccines and the anarchy and the warfare and the killings that are happening around the United States. You know, they don't care about killing people. They don't care about people. How do you let someone like that in office who don't care about people? So, and this all reminds me, these animals running away from this beast reminds me of the refuge dream that the Father gave to me back in 2007. I'll share it with you quickly. We call it Refuge from the Storm. And that was in 92107. And in a very vivid dream, an elderly white-haired man sat at his desk looking at some papers. He was also watching me with an expression of pleasant approval as I lay on a couch next to him, also looking at some papers. It was revealed to me that he was leaving me $1 billion to take care of his house and property, and there were household servants who looked on. I believe the elderly white-haired man represents our Heavenly Father, who will provide Unleavened Bread Ministries with everything necessary to care for that portion of his house and property that he has left us to care for. And the house represents, I believe, his holy people, and his property represents those who are under the blood and in the process of becoming holy. And I believe I represent here UBM, which is a body of saints committed to preparing the elect to walk in the steps of Jesus. And the papers we were looking at represent, I believe, the biblical legal contract between the Father and us that guarantees all these things. And the servants who were around, who were serving, I believe this represents the angels, and also his people who bring this to pass. And I was lying down in a restful position, signifying that I would not be by the works of it. This will not be by the works of UBM, but as we rest from our own works, the grace of God will bring it to pass. And I believe it's happening. I believe God is preparing a place and a preparation for his people to preserve them in the days of ahead so that they can, like in the first 3.5 years of tribulation period, likening to Jesus teaching the disciples for 3.5 years, they can learn and grow up, and the fivefold ministry can be restored, and the kingdom can be rebuilt, preparing these people to face the same situation that the man-child and the bride are facing now, and that is the beast and the harlot. Everyone has to overcome the beast and the harlot in their own time. But as we rest from our own works, the grace of God will bring it to pass. And the rest comes from our faith, directed towards our Father and towards his promises, right? Keep your eyes on that. Don't get distracted by the world and the things that are happening in the world and the news and all this other stuff. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. It's what's going to keep you in the days to come. It's what's going to create you after the image of Jesus Christ. And he won't have any trouble going through this thing that's coming. All right? And afterward, I saw myself walking through the house and looking out a front window. I saw that a storm was raging and that the property outside the boundaries of our property was being devastated. Trees were being blown away and the landscape was becoming desolate. Yes, of course, destruction and so on. Yeah, looking out the front window is to look, I believe, into the future, or what is before the house. The raging storm is tribulation to come. The world outside the property being devastated is to prepare it for a wilderness, to motivate God's people to flee to the kingdom of God through repentance and faith. And this, of course, is abiding in Christ, the secret place of the Most High God. Trees blown away represent people's lives being destroyed who do not abide in the shelter of Christ. And Next, I saw that inside the boundary of the property were all kinds of animals. Now, here we're clearly talking about the same thing as in the dream. So I'm drawing this parallel here. I saw that inside the boundary of the property were all kinds of animals. I knew that the $1 billion was given to shelter and take care of these people. And I call them people because of what we've already talked about, you know. After the dream, I thought how much this seemed like the beasts who fled to Noah's Ark for safety from the storm were represented there. And Solomon taught that men are as beasts, Ecclesiastes 3:18 says, I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are but as beasts. And 19 says, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth the beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath or spirit. And man hath no preeminence, listen, a man hath no preeminence above the beasts, for all is vanity. Okay, so there's a false doctrine out there, of course, that lost man has some kind of preeminence above the beasts, but the Bible says differently. They're just beasts. All lost mankind belongs to the body of the beast. All lost mankind. And all is vanity, the preacher said. And the reason he said that is everything that's physical is passing away. It's not the dirt of these old bodies that are the most important thing. It's the eternal life that lives within. Okay? And he had everything a man could fleshly want, and it brought him no happiness. Okay, so he called it vanity. All is vanity. I've shared in our teachings that different peculiarities of the animals represent the different strengths and weaknesses of men. And the different species can also be seen as different unclean sects, divisions, or denominations. Peter was being prepared by a trance vision to accept into the kingdom those men he considered to be unclean beasts. Acts 10:11. And he beholdeth the heaven open, and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet, let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. Now there's at least two parables here, as we will see, the beasts being men, and also that you can eat anything. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. That's what Jesus said. And this is, of course, the same in a literal way. But in a spiritual way, he's talking about people. What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done thrice, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Immediately after this vision, Peter was invited to the house of Cornelius. There's the people. And he perceived that God had revealed to him that he had cleansed the lost, unclean Gentiles
through the sacrifice of Jesus. Yeah. So God pointed out that these unclean animals in the sheet were people who God had cleansed. And 10 and 28 says, "And he said unto them, Ye yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or to come unto one of another nation." The goyim, right? The unbelievers. "And yet unto me hath God showed that I should not call any man common or unclean." And of course, God was using animals in that way, you know, to depict this. In verse 34, "And Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him." At this point, Peter preached the gospel to all who were in Cornelius' house, and they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So God, they had become clean, right? Amen. But many unclean beast people will be fleeing the judgments on the world and apostate Christianity and coming into the shelter of the kingdom through our ministry. And that's what this is all about. I will say this too, that a lot of unclean people out there, and even unclean Christians who have not really held the word highly in their heart, have put their trust in man, and what they're running from, the diseases made by the deep state. They're running straight into the arms of the deep state, who also are the depopulationists who made the vaccines. And this is going to show up more and more. They are depopulating. Okay? You can't, these people are murderous. You can't get away from them. You can only abide in Christ. Okay? This is our safety. The secret place of the Most High. People who trust in the Lord don't do what these people are doing. They are ignorant of God's word, of the provision that's given us in Christ to bring health and healing and to deliver us, you know, from disease. And they haven't read Psalm 91 because they know nothing about the fact that God's already delivered us from disease. So anyway, these people running onto the property were sanctified of their beastly character by the sacrifice of Jesus. And we will have to deal with those peculiarities by faith and the word. And some of them will ultimately not be saved because they will not continue in the faith and endure to the end to be delivered of their beastly appetites. Right? And next, in my vision, I saw, as I looked out the front window, a rhinoceros charging towards the window. This reminds me, of course, of the factious who, you know, have made me their target, mostly because their demons hate me. And, of course, they use slander, you know, like that weapon out there in front of that rhinoceros, right? Charging towards the window. At the last minute, it veered off and went down the side of the house. Yeah, it's like they couldn't get me, so they went down the side of the house. So I turned and I ran back through the house and looked out the back window to see lions and a rhino calf peacefully in the backyard together with other animals. I supposed that the rhinoceros was thinking to protect its own, but there was no threat. They were all at peace. The only one that wasn't at peace was the rhinoceros itself. So notice that the animals are at peace like they must have been in Peter's sheet. and in Noah's ark. And this symbolizes the one flock with one shepherd that Jesus said would come. Matthew 5 and 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." In Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, the branch is Jesus in the man-child ministry, as in Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6. You know, I had a friend years ago, his name was Willie, and Willie had a dream, and in the dream he saw me, and he walked up to me and he said, "You remind me of someone that I read about," and he quoted Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, the branch, meaning that the Davids are this branch, you know, the man-child ministry. And so, it also speaks of the animals being at peace and protected and led by the man-child. Isaiah 11 and 6, "And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." That's the man-child. "And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play at the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." Oh, there's a place of safety and deliverance of the predator's nature, you know, of different animals and so on and so forth. In the holy mountain, God's men and women are sanctified of their beastly natures. Yes, I know that they don't, those who only see the letter think that this can only be in the millennium, you know. But actually, it's in the ark. Those who are going to survive the flood in the ark. And they are at peace in the ark. They had to be, right? So this holy mountain is where the beasts come into their sanctification, delivered of their beastly nature, to abide in the Lord. "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Amen. How awesome. And the rest of the chapter speaks of gathering God's people to their spiritual land of promise and bringing peace between them while conquering the old man in the land. Chapter 12 speaks of them drinking freely of God's salvation. And chapter 13 is the day of the Lord and the fall of America. Here the shepherds and their flocks are gone, but the wild beasts, especially the goats, the wicked and apostates, and the wolves, apostate false leaders, are left to cry in their castles, which is their churches. And 13 and 19, "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, and the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. He is delivering the people from this cruel, evil leadership. And verse 20, "Neither shall the shepherds make their flocks to lie down there." It was like when Pharaoh wanted Moses to let the people worship in Egypt, and Moses said, "We can't worship in Egypt." Yeah, neither could they do it in Babylon, right? Their shepherds won't be made to lie down there. Okay, but Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be doleful, full of doleful creatures, and ostriches shall dwell there, and wild goats shall dance there. These are all typologies of people, unclean and evil people. You know, Babylon in Revelation 18 is the hold or the prison of every evil spirit, you know. Verse 22, and the wolves shall cry in their castles, and the jackals in their pleasant place palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Look at the unclean wolves, which are likened to false leadership. Jackals, too. Look at that. So, I was looking out the front window in this dream, representing seeing into the future. And the left side, where the rhinoceros went, represents where the goats walk, on the left, right? Where Jesus put the goats, on the left. And just as it is now, some self-righteous, competitive, ambitious, sectarian, factious, domineering types will seek to separate those of their own kind and their own thinking from the body. When in reality, they are they're in the safest place to be. You know, the factious always seek to separate people from the good people, from the righteous people, from the place where they're feeding on the Word of God and growing up on the Word. But they don't care. Their selfish ambition and their demons, they want to make disciples of their own. And notice that the demons focus on the righteous. They don't want the righteous to be the righteous. They send witchcraft prayers. They even send witches to try to kill us and things like that. These are crazy people. This also may be speaking of a larger future scenario that involves the New World Order religion seeking to separate those who may be proven to belong to them from those that are at peace with God and each other. They won't be ashamed to use the weapon at their disposal to gore those who have been given authority. The rhinoceros, first aimed at me, and then at those who agreed with me. Some, like Judas, will go to the place ordained for them because of their selfish ambition and because they abuse their freedom in Christ. And Galatians 5 and 10 says, I have confidence to you ward in the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. For ye, brethren, were called, verse 13, for ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one of another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, as the wild beasts normally do, right? Take heed that you be not consumed one of another, as the wild beasts normally do, right? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, and even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yes, and in order for them to be at ease with this totally corrupt nature, they have to be demon-possessed. So, now, let's go back to Isaac's dream about the beast bear, right, attacking, and the animals fleeing from the beast bear, and so on. We were calm as we watched all this unfold. Only Brandy and I were outside. The people that were in the car with us originally were in the house. Everything was happening so fast that I didn't have time to think of what the animals were running from. We will have supernatural peace and protection while the beast is raging, right? And so they were at peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Amen. So what about this beast that's approaching, that's scaring all the animals? And like the revelation I had, I looked out past the boundaries in that revelation, and I saw destruction after destruction after destruction. But inside the boundaries, there was peace and safety. So now we see here that Isaac is saying, Suddenly, as I turned around, I saw a ferocious bear in front of the property where the house was. This was the beast bear that all the animals were running from. It was angry and hungry, and it stood about 10 feet tall or more. And 10, of course, in the scriptures represents the law or the judgment, right? And this beast bear was black and walking on its hind legs. It didn't even walk on all fours. Well, you know, the beast walks like a man because it rules through men. Amen. It lives in men. The beast represents men. Remember, the beast has a head, but it also has a body, and that body represents all lost mankind, even those who claim to be Christians who are lost. They are members of the body of the beast and will be identified as so, you know. And he tells you right here, Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So you can notice from this that the beast is Antichrist. And we have extreme examples in the world of what is Antichrist, like communism. They hate Christians, and they're very beastly. They don't care how many people they kill to get in power. They lust for power. Islam, same thing. The leftists, same thing. The factious, the same thing. And the Satanists. But this same nature, beast nature, is seen in just the common man who knows not God. Even may even think he's a good man. But you have to be born into the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad in your own eyes. You have to be born of the king to be in the kingdom. That's what people don't understand. Oh, he's a good person. Doesn't make any difference. If you're not a child of the king, you're not in the kingdom. As it was walking in the front yard of the property, it came after Brandy. It comes after all of us, and we have to know how to conquer this beast, right? He ran about 30 feet, and the bear ran in front of him, trying to stop and capture him. However, Brandy was so calm. The black bear and Brandy were facing off with their eyes locked on each other. The bear stood about 10 feet away from him. Well, Revelation 12 says that the beast, or the serpent, cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. So, and what was that for? I mean, it was to destroy the man-child and the woman. These waters. See, Jesus has living waters which give life, and the beast has waters that don't give life. They bring deception and judgment and condemnation and so on and so forth, right? So the waters represent words that try to deceive and judge and condemn and so on. And the beast is standing 10 feet away representing judgment. But the word says in Isaiah 54 and 17 that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Yes. Well, those who were in with the beast to crucify Jesus were condemned, right? Including Judas, who went and hung himself, right? So it goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, says the Lord. What is their heritage? That no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We can see that in this dream. And as we continue, we can see it even more. They were both facing in each other's direction. The bear towered over Brandy, and its paws were swiping at him while it stood on its hind legs with its mouth opened, growling and exposing all its teeth. Well, you know what the beast does. It's trying to get a reaction out of you. This is a test. Will you run in fear and take a vaccination? Will you run in fear? Because fear has no promise of the blessings of God. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So even though this bear was much bigger than Brandy, and he was swiping and acting very vicious and growling and exposing his teeth and so on, he really couldn't do anything. However, the swipes of the bear could not reach Brandy. He stood still in front of the ferocious bear, their eyes locked on each other. Brandy was quiet, and I could tell he wasn't even afraid. Well, we know that those who have faith when faced by the beast are fearless. They have no power. It's a test. Stand firm. Trust the Lord. We get into many trials like this where we're faced with the beast from without or the beast from within. And we don't have to back down. We have authority. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. So he went on to say, Brandy was trying to get away from the bear, but the beast still stood in his way. He dodged to one side, and the bear reacted and stepped in front again of the same side. And Brandy dodged while the beast bear was still swiping at him. He again dodged to the other side, and the bear stepped in front again, trying to capture Brandy. And what, of course, is he's trying to incite is fear in Brandy so he can take advantage, because fear is faith in the curse. Jesus said, how many times? Fear not. Because you, like Job said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear is faith in the curse. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in those things that are outside the promises of God. Amen. It seemed to me that Brandy was one step ahead of the bear, although the bear reacted to Brandy's movements and was trying to trap him. Yet the beast was still anticipating his dodges. Well, in Zechariah 3, 1 and 2, we're told, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. And let me say something about Joshua. He represented the high priest, Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, in the earth today, Jesus is called a body. It's called the body of Christ. These are people who abide in him. Now, if you take that parable and you join it with this one, you see, verse 2 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Yea, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this the brand plucked out of the fire? Satan was there to accuse. That's what he does. He is the accuser. He accuses you to you. He accuses you to others. He slanders you to others. And he's got many little helpers out there running around too. You know. And so, but the Lord is rebuking Satan and all his little helpers in what they're trying to do to the body of Christ. We're justified through faith in Jesus Christ. We're accounted righteous through faith that he took away our sins and nailed them to the cross. But you know the wicked out there, and the factious too, they want to accuse. They run everywhere accusing. They're liars because they themselves are doing what they're accusing of, exactly what's happening in the world. Yeah, exactly. Those demons are trying to deflect their guilt by pointing people to someone else, especially those that they hate. That's what they do. That's what they did all through the Bible, by the way. They attacked the messengers of God. And so he said, as I was watching in awe, for some reason, my hand was on a Polaroid camera. From the good old days, right? Taking pictures of this event as the Brandy and the Beast faced off. Yeah. Well, I think what we used to call a snapshot from these type cameras, you know, is a memory that can be useful or it can be destructive, right? Some people have these pictures coming to their mind all the time of destructive things that have happened in their past. And it's not for their good that this happens. It's accusing. It's causing them to not forgive all these things because of this memory, okay? But a memory can be also a good thing, you know, especially victory over the enemies, right? And how we got that way and how we overcame and so on. Or even watching other people's memories in the scriptures of how they overcame enemies and the beast and so on. We can pay attention to all of these. So, we should remember the authority that we have over the beast and how we can be fearless, like the description of Brandy when faced by the beast here, right? I wasn't focusing the camera or even looking through it. The camera was on the handrails of the steps going into the White House. Notice that, the steps going into the White House. And my hand just happened to be resting on the camera taking the pictures. So the White House, I believe, represents the place of dominion over the beast. Right? Don't pay attention to what the history of the White House and all. It's pretty corrupt, and I believe one day they're going to destroy it, frankly. But at any rate, what it represents, because we've had dreams of the man-child being in the White House, the Lord being in the White House, because they're all places of dominion for these, over the beast. And the steps there are what Brandy is taking by exercising his dominion over the beast, whether it be his flesh or the world around him. Either one of these can be seen as the beast, and they all attack us. They're coming against us. The old man comes against us. He don't like us either, right? So, but we take these steps, and the pictures are being taken. You know, I mean, this is memories, good memories that we need to remember that we have dominion over the beast. I mean, God kept reminding the Jews out there in the wilderness, hey, don't you remember the Red Sea? Yeah, okay, a victory, a good picture. And meanwhile, Brandy and the bear were still facing off, and I yelled out to him, hold on, stay still. I then ran inside the house and grabbed the first bit of food that I had seen in the refrigerator. It was a piece of shrimp and a piece of imitation crab meat. And I ran outside where Brandy and the bear were. I threw the shrimp and the imitation crab at the bear to distract it and get it to leave Brandy alone. Oh, so what would an unclean, beastly bear like to eat? It would be uncleanness, right? The bear was distracted and reached down and picked up the shrimp and began to eat. Now, I like shrimp because, but if you have to look at the parable in the Old Testament, if you don't realize it's a parable, you'll be avoiding shrimp. I don't avoid shrimp. And so, but let's look at the parable. I believe that the shrimp represents, Isaac said, unclean meat. And I was throwing this abomination out of the White House. Oh, yeah. Well, representing sanctifying the true church of God's house, right? The White House, the place of dominion, right? We've been given dominion over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. Of course, you have to believe that. You see, because lots of people do get hurt. Even when they go through the trial, they get hurt because they fear the beast. They think Satan has more power than God. Amen? So the shrimp and the imitation crab could also represent the rest of the seed of the woman who are still in apostasy due to eating unclean food instead of the word of God. You know that? You know why the woman is out there running from the dragon? Yes. Yes, of course. They've been eating unclean food. They haven't been eating the Word of God. If you put the Word of God in you, you're putting Jesus in you. He ain't scared of nothing. So the serpent beast goes off to make war on them, right? Revelation chapter 12, 15 through 17 says this. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. So be careful. There's good water and there's bad water, right? There's the rivers of living water that should be flowing out of your innermost being that gives life to the world around you. Then there's that other stuff that comes out of you, the unclean stream, you know, the wickedness, things that are speaking contrary to God's word, etc., etc. Of course, that's what the dragon, the serpent dragon, does. He speaks contrary to God's word. He did it in the garden with Eve, right? Yes, he did. And he wanted to carry them away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, anything the dragon, who is the devil in a body of people, believe it or not, go back and read it, you will see. It is the devil in a body of all lost mankind. All seven heads and all ten horns are over that body. Okay. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed. Couldn't get the woman. What? Why not? That keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. They couldn't get the woman. The woman was given the wings of the great eagle. By who? The man-child. To overcome the earth. To get out of reach of the dragon, right? And he makes a note here. The word abominable is shequetz, or sheketz, which means idolatrous and abominable. And Leviticus 11:10-12 says this, just kind of as an idea about unclean creatures, right? And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, they are an abomination unto you. And they shall be an abomination. Also, bottom dwellers and things like that were abominations. And they shall be an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, which means partaking of uncleanness. If you partake of uncleanness, you are unclean, right? And their carcasses you shall have in abomination. So don't eat the dead, unclean creatures. That's what he's saying. Don't partake of those that are dead and are unclean. Nah, not to worry about the shrimp. Whatsoever hath not fins or scales in the waters, that is an abomination unto you. So that's just one of the disqualifications right there. There are many. And all of them are spiritual. They're not physical. As the bear ate the shrimp. Let me go back to what we just read a minute ago. The earth, which is what? The body of the beast, opened her mouth and swallowed up the river. The lies, the slander, the deception to try to destroy the woman, right? Which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So now the bear is eating the shrimp. So Brandy turned around and ran to the right side and ran around the area where my dad used to have a garden. Gardens, of course, are for fruit, right? And they're on the right. He ran around the garden and was running towards the White House. Well, I think the house of God and dominion is represented by the White House. Okay. I also went into the house, and I had the door open for him as he was making his way to the house. Well, fleeing to the house from the hands and the power of the beast is what we all need to do, right? And we have to bear the fruit of Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold, which is represented by the garden of the Father, in order to enter into the white house, the place of dominion over the beast, right? I noticed there was a package of imitation crab meat on a table outside. I said, Brandy, grab the imitation crab meat. Remember, we talked about it also represented people who were unclean from eating unclean things that their preachers were giving them, right? Brandy grabbed the imitation crab meat. He grabbed the imitation crab and ran inside the house. And he says, I believe that the imitation crab meat represents the people coming out of apostate Christianity that Father will have us witness to. I agree. Imitation crab meat isn't crab meat at all, but is actually fish. Okay. It is made from a fish called pollock, which does have scales. Again, all of the abominable animals coming onto the property seeking the protection of the refuge, which is abiding in Christ, are represented here. They're there to get rid of their abominable natures, right? And abomination, of course, is idolatry. And he goes on to say, I think a remnant will leave their idols and flee from the harlot. The harlot being this apostate religious system, right? Ezekiel 36, 24 and 25. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Well, they're out there defiled among the goyim, among the nations, the unbelievers, living like the unbelievers, which most Christian people do. They don't live in the supernatural realm of conquering the beast around them, of giving up their life, sacrificed on the altar of the fiery trial, right? They're not there. They don't even believe in it. They think all they got to do is accept Jesus, even though they're unclean, so he doesn't accept them. Our uncleanness has to be laid on the cross because the reconciliation has been made, and he took all of our uncleanness on the cross, and he gave us his life. Now, the good confession is that I don't live anymore. My uncleanness is not with me anymore. I reckon myself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God now. You know? Amen. I look in the mirror and I see Jesus. This good confession, of course, is one that the high priest of our confession lays before the Father, and the Father gives orders to the holy angels to come and give us exactly what we've confessed. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. So I think, he said, the imitation crab, which is actually fish, pollock, when they were in the harlot, had the imitation or image of a crab, which is abominable, but are coming out and into the house of God. For we are to be fishers of men. That's right. Bring the animals into the ark. I closed the door, and then I saw the bear clawing at the door, but it couldn't come in. We were safe. So righteousness delivers from death. Many people try many different things to deliver from death, all of them physical, all of them won't work. And so righteousness delivers from death, and all those abiding in the white house will have a Psalm 91 protection, for they are in Christ. And he said, as I looked in the kitchen, I saw the people whom I didn't recognize from earlier, that had been in the car with us. They were hiding from the beast in the house, as we all should be, right? The whole time. And some seemed fearful. Yeah. So we get rid of all this stuff, abiding in Christ. We get rid of it all because we know that he took it away and nailed it to the cross. We don't have it anymore, fear included. I then noticed a woman in the kitchen also. She was crying, but I have no clue what about. And it was as if she was complaining or crying of fear. As I walked away from her, I noticed David Eales was on the property. I walked outside, and the beast bear was nowhere to be found. David and I began talking, and I told him what took place with Brandy and the bear. David didn't seem surprised, but very interested in the situation, and he was very joyful. Amen. It's so good to see people overcome the beast. So good to be overcoming the beast. Brandy and I grabbed the camera as it printed out Polaroid pictures. He wanted to rejoice in the victory, right? Taking the memory with them. And Brandy and I had to scrape the picture with a putty knife to make the images visible. And as we scraped the picture into being visible, I believe we showed the picture to David of Brandy and the beast bear facing off. So this is a testimony now, right? The camera gave a testimony of the victory over the beast. And it was uncovered. They took the putty knife and uncovered this. You know, they revealed it, right? Yes, our testimonies are all for a purpose of us revealing them to others. They are so helpful in causing other people to be overcomers. It's not that we do this to brag. We can't do that. Obviously, we are nothing without Christ, but he, by his grace, saves us and delivers us through our faith. And he's even giving us the faith. So, see. So David said to me, "You know why the bear couldn't lunge over and attack Brandy?" I said, "Why is that, David?" He responded, "Because God even controls the beast." And then I woke up. So, it's so true. We don't have to fear the beast. We fear God. If you fear God, you don't have to worry about the beast. It's a good study to read about the fear of the Lord. Ooh. A person who fears the Lord won't lack any good thing. Amen. So I asked for a word by faith at random this morning and got for the second time within 2 days, Luke 9, 1 through 4. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them forth to preach the kingdom of God. One time he said, "I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves, and to heal the sick." Verse 3. And he said unto them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staff, nor wallet, nor bread, nor money, neither have 2 coats. And into whatsoever house you enter, there abide, and thence depart." And, of course, this is speaking of we don't have to go with our own provision. The Lord will provide for all those who go in his name to share the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, so on and so forth. He provides for them. Ain't God good? Ooh, yeah. Okay, I got another one. We call this man-child already has the land ready for the bride. Okay. And this is Claire Pinar. 4:13-21. I dreamed that I, and this is Claire, meaning brilliant, and it denotes the lampros garment of the bride, the corporate body in Revelation, right? I dreamed that I was walking in the bush with my husband, Rion. Rion means little king and represents man-child, right? So Jesus in the corporate body of the man-child ministers around the world, and who is the husband of the head of his bride, and the head of his bride, okay? Praise the Lord. He showed me his dream land, quote unquote. So the man-child showed her the dream land that he wanted to purchase or had purchased. The land was behind a metal mesh fence. It was to the right of a dried up ravine. Okay. The bush and the dried up ravine, I believe, represent the wilderness, and Claire did too, and the fence represents the protection that the elect will have when they enter the promised land, right? And the sanctification from the world is represented by the wilderness experience. I mean, they had to leave Egypt to go into the wilderness where they sacrificed to God, where provision came out of heaven. And God wanted to do so much more for them, but they were double-minded and fell away, and so on. On the left side of the dried-up ravine or river bed was a huge concrete water tank. It was probably 10 or 12 meters in diameter, and it was as tall as it was wide. Okay. I saw a house on the right side of the riverbed. It was all glass with a few dark red bricks in between, and it had solar panels on the roof. And, you know, the saints live and are led by the Holy Spirit, which is omnipresent and transparent like the glass, and the saints are powered by the sun. The S-U-N/S-O-N. And our lives are a living sacrifice, hence the red colored bricks. And what were they doing in Egypt with the bricks? They were making bricks and building, you know, the old kingdom of Egypt and as slaves. And God set them free. He set them free. Rion went into the yard of this dream property of his, and I walked on straight ahead through the bush and into a little town. I found myself in a doctor's office with a female doctor. I was there to collect my bank card from her, even though I had never been to see her nor had her perform any services for me. And while I was waiting to get the bank card, she started talking to me about abortion and how it is the best for all women. She said she did not understand giving birth, much less breastfeeding babies. She said, "It's all a waste of time," she said. I was confused by her speech and somewhat offended, but I kept quiet. Well, we know that bearing fruit is what God has called us to do. They want to abort that fruit. And by the way, in a natural way, the doctors who make money for pushing these vaccines are doing a very stupid and foolish thing. And they're aborting many children They're destroying the women's reproductive systems with these vaccines. If you do the study, you will find out. It's the truth. These are depopulationists. So that's just on a natural level. But on a spiritual level, we are to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. And there are people out there who are reprobates who want to talk us out of it. Then one by one, many of the Australian Christian women I know came into the doctor's office, and they listened to her and agreed with her. Oh, Christians should not do that. And that's what they're doing. They bow down to the medical establishment, right? On a natural level, on a spiritual level, they listen to preachers who tell them they don't have to bear fruit. I thought this was very strange. I said to one of the women, "Why are you doing this? Why are you here?" And she replied, "I've always come here. I don't know where else to go." Well, it's true. They've never been taught that there is provision from God, so they put their trust in men, right? I believe that this doctor represents the apostate church prevalent in the world, she says, where the apostate harlot leaders abort the spirit man, Jesus, before he has a chance to mature and bear the fruit. They don't know any better. I also think this represents a Jezebel spirit that is rampant within this institutionalized church system. Yep. Yep, they want their freedom. They don't want to be responsible. They believe in abortion on a natural level and on a spiritual level. The doctor then took my bank card and filled it up with cash. Ooh. She loaded it with funds from an EFT-POS. I don't know what that is. Okay. Something I guess they have in Australia. Like machine she had in her office. Normally, you pay with these machines as they read your card. But in this case, she was giving me money. I don't know how much I received. And she said, "The Lord is going to take the funds from these Babylonish churches and distribute it to his bride." Well, this is true. As apostate members are converted to the truth, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. God's going to bless his man-child and his bride, corporate bodies, to provide for and to take care of his elect during the wilderness tribulation period. You see, when people who are in the world come to God, that money which they have now belongs to the Lord. They should understand that. They should deal with it that way, that they are now only stewards. They are not owners anymore. According to the scriptures, if you don't renounce everything you have, Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple. So coming into the kingdom, you become a steward, right? And so when a person gets saved, now that is in the kingdom. It no longer belongs to the wicked world, right? Once I had my bank card returned to me, I left for the big glass house. I was walking and I saw Leon Lunsford in a big red pickup truck, making his way to drive right into the doctor's office through her windows. And Leon means lion, she said, and represents the Lion of Judah. Jesus and the red pickup truck represents the human vehicles washed in the blood of Jesus that he shed in order to overcome and to have dominion over all the powers of darkness, right? Amen. I did not stick around, but walked quickly back through the bush towards Rion's dream home. The dream home is our promised land that we receive as overcomers. Amen. And as I approached the fence, a big black snake came at me from the left. It's kind of like the beast, right? The serpent, which is the dragon, right? I thought, I can't jump over the fence. It's too high. And then I just walked through the fence, and the snake disappeared or could not get through as I was safe. Amen. So the Bible have supernatural protection from the attacks of the serpent, that beast in book Revelation, chapter 12. During the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Revelation 12, 13 through 17 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And there were given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle." In other words, overcomer, overcoming the world. Who gave him that? Well, back in the beginning of Revelation 12, there, 7, 8, 9, the man-child is the one who went into the woman to teach the woman and to raise her up so that she too could be defended against the dragon beast, right? So there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, that's the first 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. Out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water. Out of the dragon flows rivers of deadly water. In fact, they are poisoning, I got to tell you, they are poisoning the water all over the world. Things that are not supposed to be in the human body are getting into the water. And everybody's drinking the water, and it's in their bodies. And they know this, and they promote this. And so, you know, you can get it from the air, you can get it from the water, you can get it from the food. Everything that they're doing with the vaccines, they're also doing elsewhere. They want to wipe out mankind. And the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river. You know why this helped the woman? Because if the woman sees the world swallowing something, they know it's not good. They know it's wrong. And swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The world is going to run after the beast. Who can make war against the beast? You know, the whole world runs after the beast. And so the people begin to realize, oh, that's not good. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed. What? Because he couldn't get to the woman. She had the wings of an eagle. So those that doesn't yet have their wings are still threatened by the dragon beast, right? And he went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. So, therefore, this is the way to escape the beast. Keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Amen? Ooh, this is so good. Thank you, Father. I didn't immediately ask God for a word by faith at random, but I did a few days later, and I received the following, Jeremiah 23 and 38, with my finger on the Lord. But if you say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say, the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you. I will cast you off. In other words, he's not going to bear that burden. I will cast you off. and the city that I gave unto you and to your fathers away from my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Well, we just read about the people who didn't understand the bride. You know, the Jezebel harlot, they like to claim Christianity. As long as it's popular, they'll do that. If it gets unpopular, they won't. The Jezebel harlot will be plundered and destroyed by the beast, but the woman will be preserved. She has the wings of the eagle, right? Ooh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, a little bit more here. True Christians are not served by the beast. This is Claire also, 2:9-21. I dreamed I was in a big city with my family. We were being accompanied by a woman called Suzanne. In reality, this woman is unsaved. In the dream, she had many, many unsaved friends around her, and she was showing us the sights of this large city. It's probably Babylon. It was like the city was being blocked off for a major party, similar to how Washington, D.C., the head of Babylon, gets blocked off for special days like St. Patrick's Day, with bands and playing and alcohol flowing freely and food trucks and other sorts of revelry, right? So the city represents the Babylonish beast system that we are escaping from through sanctification and holiness. My children were getting hungry, so I told Suzanne, "It's time for us to leave." She said, "You can just buy food from that truck over there." In other words, still in Babylon, right? I said to her, "No, I don't think they're going to serve me. I don't think you realize who we are." She looked puzzled. I went over to the food truck to prove my point. And as I came to the front of the waiting line, the man taking orders took one look at me and at my forehead and at my wrist and said, "You know I can't serve you. Get out of here." I said, "I know. Thank you." So the bride's children are getting hungrier and hungrier, and they're not being fed in the apostate religious churches of Babylonish Christianity. God's elect will be forced out of the beast system and its mark of the beast to join the first fruits, man, child, and bride in the wilderness. See, God's designed all this. He's designed it all. And there, they're going to receive the true spiritual food that they need to grow up and to bear the fruit of Christ. Amen? So I went back to report this to Suzanne, and she could not understand. Neither could her high-minded friends. They were completely confused. She said, "Try another truck, maybe a juice truck." I said, "Yeah, sure," knowing that it would end the same. The juices were $1 for a liter, a really good price. I had cash, but they still would not serve me. I went back to Suzanne and said, "We're Christians, Suzanne, real ones. Jesus lives in us. We cannot be served here. We're going to leave." She was angry with me for not trying harder or not being like her, which I did not really understand. So the apostate lukewarm Christians will take the mark of the beast because they serve their fleshly, beastly nature, and they don't understand sanctification and holiness. They will end up hating and persecuting the true Christians because they're of a different spirit and an antichrist spirit. So as we walked around the city, looking for a way out, I saw a huge skyscraper building that had industrial strength renovation wrapping all around it. And the wrapping was kind of white, but more translucent. I think this probably talks about the religion of Babylon. There are many of them out there. They're not spiritual people. They're not led by spiritual people. They're led like a harlot, right? Which is what? Having relations, illegal relations with the world, right? I looked in through the wrapping and I saw thousands of white dead bodies piled as high as the topmost floor of the building. On the left side of the building, I saw a little 3D hangman drawing, like the spelling guessing game we played on paper as kids, where you have to guess the word. I figured in the dream that these dead bodies were all Christians who had been hanged. It is possible that many carnal Christians are not going to call on the right name of the Lord, and they will not be saved, but will be devoured by the beast system. Is this another warning from the Lord for Christians to get out of the beast cities and to get out of the beast system and to come out from among them? Yes. Many are going to lose their lives in these end times because they didn't love the truth more than they loved their fleshly religions and their benefits of the world. And for the benefits of the world, they will take the mark of the beast, even though they call themselves Christians. Even, you know, afterwards they will call themselves Christians because the devil wants to lure other Christians to take the mark of the beast, whether it's the spiritual mark of the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, the forehead and the hand, right? Or whether it's the physical mark. All the people who have the spiritual mark, which is curable, we've all been cured of that, walking after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, we're all being cured of that. So it's spiritual. People don't understand it, but we're either getting delivered of that, because if we keep it, we're going to get the mark identifying us as members of the body of the beast. And God will hold to that. I was filled with dread and said to Rion, "Why are we here?" Looking at all the dead bodies in the building, you know. "Can you see this? This is sick." He nodded. And then I woke up. Well, we are seeing some sick things happening out there. People dying at the hands of the beast. And Christians, so-called supposedly Christians, who don't trust God, running to the beast for salvation. How can you do that? What does the beast actually want to do? Get rid of you. I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random and received Hebrews 12:25. "See that you refuse not him that speaketh." See, your protection against these things is in the Word of God. Go find out the truth. Seek it with all of your heart. Stop wasting your time on the world and all the news that's going on out there and all that. Stop wasting your time. You need eternal life. Eternal life is Christ living in you. He is the Word of God. When the Word of God lives in you, you will not follow the world. And look how many. They say 200 million people are taking the vaccines. And multitudes are dying. "For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, how much more shall not we escape who turn away from him that warneth from heaven?" Uh-huh. So, we are in a war. We're in a battle. We can have faith. We can walk after the Lord. We can have his faith in us. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. Okay? We can have his faith in us. We cannot worry about a thing. Be fearless before the beast who is seeking to conquer us and is having success conquering many people who call themselves Christians. Call upon the name of the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Jesus said, are you a believer? Oh, yeah? Well, believe this. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. It's past tense. And you shall have them. What do you need from God that He is not planning on giving to you? Why would you run to the world or trust the world when they are all depopulationists? They want the world to themselves. They want to plunder you. How could you possibly trust these people? Well, declassification is near. It's all going to come out. Everything that the deep state has done is going to come out. In fact, the deep state in the church and in the world, it's all going to come out. What the wicked and evil things that they have done, God is going to see to it. It's going to come out. And this will be a lesson, hopefully, and hopefully a great revival will come from this of people saying, oh my gosh, we were pledging allegiance to Satan. Yeah, Satan was well nigh overcoming and taking over totally the world. And of course he has control over the worldly people in the world, but he was well now taking over all the governments, all the churches, everything. He's giving us a little bit of space here to realize who is who. And so that we can have a short period of relative peace as the kingdom is rebuilt, so that the people of God can be strong to face the beast and the harlot in the tribulation period. He's giving us a little bit of time here. He is showing His power to save and deliver. And a great revival is coming as people realize these things. And, of course, the beast is fighting very hard to make sure people don't realize these things. And they've taken over the media. They're all demon-possessed. And they're going down. The media is going down. It's going to be totally conquered to show God's mercy and grace. The mainstream media is going down. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for these things. We thank you for truth going forth. I know that there will be a lot of worldly truth going forth, but Lord, just get people a little closer every time. A little closer, a little closer, a little closer. They can't take a whole mouthful. So give them what they can accept now, Lord, and thank you so much for what you're doing. Your wisdom is just shining forth. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for victory over the beast, as we've been talking about today and for the last few revelations. Thank you that victory has already been won, and we should believe it. We should reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. We no longer serve the beast. We serve the King. And we are living to serve Him. And we live a sacrificial life of going through the fiery trials, holding fast to His word, and conquering the beast. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing for your people. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We ask you to bless the brethren today that are joining us. Thank you so much. God bless you.